layout of what we have coming tonight. I'm going to give a quick overview of the environmental review process, procedures, and just kind of the purpose of what an EIR is. And then I'll turn it over to Lorene. She'll give a brief project overview that will be followed by a short kind of 10-minute question and answer session. Just to make sure if you have any questions, clarifications about the project before you can offer us your comments on potential environmental impacts, that's a good chance for you to do that. And then the major portion of tonight is spent on your comments and concerns. So that will be the majority of the meeting. And hopefully we'll wrap up around 8 o'clock. I hope everybody has signed up on the sign-in sheet. That'll mean you get future notices about when the document comes out, when there are hearings, any notices involving the project. As well as if you plan to speak tonight, please fill out a green speaker card. Tammy, can you hold one up? At any point in the meeting, you can fill that out and get that to our staff. And then restrooms for anyone who needs them. They're straight out the back door here, and they should be open. Okay, so tonight's meeting purpose, we're just starting this environmental impact report, and we're going through a process that's called scoping. So tonight we're going to receive public input on the environmental issues to be analyzed in the environmental impact report, the EIR, for the Woodacre San Geronimo wastewater recycling project. And in addition to the public, we also solicit comments from relevant public agencies. So these are agencies that have some type of approval authority, permitting authority over the project, such as the regional or state water board, our air quality district, Department of Fish and Wildlife. So we're here tonight because this project is subject to the California Environmental Quality Act, otherwise known as CEQA. And a brief overview for those of you new to CEQA or wanting a refresher. It was enacted in 1970. It's still one of the state's most important environmental laws. And its purposes and goals, main purpose and goals rather, would be to provide information, to foster participation with the public being a key player, mitigation of environmental impacts, and accountability by decision makers. So the decision maker for this particular project is the County Board of Supervisors. And then CEQA requires the decision makers to document and consider the environmental implications of their actions. So that's your CEQA in a nutshell. And then the type of CEQA document required for this project is a full scope environmental impact report, an EIR. So a distilled explanation. An EIR is a detailed factual study of the potential environmental effects of a project on the physical environment. It's an objective disclosure document, which is important because it means it does not, in and of itself, advocate for or against a project. It just provides information. The purpose is to identify potential impacts and mitigation measures, again, as a source of information for the decision makers to consider before approving a project. So the EIR won't determine whether a project should be approved. It's just part of the information they consider. And then a scope of an EIR. Again, the impacts of the project on the physical environment, as well as several project alternatives will be analyzed. And I should note that those are not restricted to what was contained in the feasibility study. I know there was a relatively robust feasibility study prepared for this project. And while the EIR will draw on those, and some of those, it's not necessarily constrained by those. Generally, alternatives are only arrived at once you get partway into the impact analysis preparation. And then cumulative impacts. So we'll analyze the impacts of this project as well as projects, past projects, present, reasonably foreseeable projects in this same area. So again, it's a full-scope EIR, which means that all of the required CEQA topics will be included, and those are all the bullet points here on the screen. Some are more applicable than others. I would imagine we'd only give cursory mention to agriculture, forestry, mineral resources. Those are some of the less relevant topics, whereas you have things like hydrology, water quality are more pertinent to this project. So these are the types of issues to think of when you're giving your comments. And we'll leave this slide up there during public comment time. And to give you a better idea of kind of the concerns that could be captured, it would be when you're thinking visual resources, maybe degraded visual character or view sheds. Air quality could be dust, odors, air contaminants, and of course greenhouse gas emissions. Biological resources, we're talking about sensitive species and habitat. Cultural resources, anytime you have ground disturbance, there's the possibility that you could dig up an archaeological resource. Energy, natural resources, we're talking about the source, the amount. Geology and soils involve things like grading impacts and erosion, slope instability, so hazards, hazardous materials, toxic contaminants, or in the case of this project, what if there's pipeline or storage pond failure, how would that be handled? Hydrology, water quality, we know that overall the intent of the project is to benefit water quality long-term, but we also have to look at short-term impacts. So those could be sedimentation, runoff, noise, construction, anything involved with the construction, or during operation, maybe the pump station, maybe the treatment facilities would have noise impacts. Population and housing, we're talking about growth inducement. Is this project growth inducing? Public services, fire, police, is there an increased need? Same with utilities and service systems. Or are you looking at potential disruptions in service? Parks and recreation, a little less applicable, but basically would it increase the need for these? And then transportation and traffic. Maybe traffic trips for construction, are there any traffic disruptions? So again, we're looking at both short and long-term impacts. So those impacts involved with construction and then with operation of the project. What you'll notice is not on here, and is just not relevant to CEQA, are things like social and economic impacts. And it's not that those aren't important, it's just that CEQA doesn't cover them. So there's a time and a place to address those during the project merit stage or the project approval, but for purposes of tonight and any comments you make as part of the EIR process, those aren't relevant. So the EIR process I've laid out as more or less four major milestones, and those also represent opportunities for public participation. Again, sign our mailing list to get future notices about each of these milestone stages. So we're currently right there at the notice of preparation and scoping period. Generally, it's a 30-day period. Ours is more like 40 days. And we're looking strictly now at the issues to be included in the EIR, wanting to make sure that we capture everything before we start the impact analysis. So following the close of our scoping period, that would be until May 1st. Starting then, the consultant will begin preparing the draft EIR. That generally takes about four or five months. As a standard for EIRs. When the draft EIR comes out, you'll all be notified, and there will be a 45-day review and comment period, as well as a hearing at the Board of Supervisors, a public hearing on the adequacy of the draft EIR. So that's a time when you can either submit written comment or public testimony. It's probably a pretty pivotal time to be involved. And following the draft EIR, our consultant prepares the final EIR, and that's essentially our response to your comments, how they were addressed. Did we identify all the impacts? Were they analyzed adequately? And so usually what the final EIR looks like is any track changes to the draft EIR text, as well as a whole separate kind of by comment, by response, any letters or oral testimony that you've provided. And then the final EIR has a 14-day review and comment period. And that's actually unique to Marin. The state doesn't mandate that. and there will be another public hearing when the board considers certifying the final EIR. So that fourth and last step, you're still welcome to come give oral testimony, tell us why the EIR is adequate or inadequate. And that whole process generally takes about a year with a lot of wild cards thrown in there because we don't know what kind of comments we're going to receive or if a lot of new technical work will be required. Now I'm going to turn it over to Lorraine.
Thank you. So Norm Hanshi was going to help me with this, but he's ill, so I'm going to do this. So why are we even doing this? Our overriding objectives that we need to keep in mind throughout this project is our intent to protect public health. We want to remedy old and failing septic systems. Hopefully that will improve the water quality in the local waterways. It should help improve fish habitat and reduce pathogens in Tomales Bay. Tomales Bay is a designated impaired body of water for pathogens, and the county is charged with making sure that human wastewater in the watershed is not being released that would contribute to the pathogens in Tomales Bay. And in this project, we are also looking to conserve fresh water. Okay. There we go. So I'm going to give a brief overview of the project, and I encourage you, if you want more details, to go online. We have the full feasibility study, the project area, all online. You just Google Woodacre San Germano Wastewater Project, and you'll come to the project page on that. But in essence, the project description for what's going to be addressed in the EIR is one of the alternatives that came out of our draft feasibility study. And that was alternative 5B. We're proposing to do a collection, tertiary treatment, and recycling of water to be used for irrigation at the golf course. It's a community wastewater recycling program. Project description will be to serve 360 developed parcels. It does not include vacant lots. This is in the Woodacre, San Geronimo Flats. And as Rachel mentioned, EIRs look at growth-inducing impacts. And so one of the things the EIR is going to look at is ways to limit growth. I think there's been some misunderstanding about a bonus 500 square feet that would be allowed for properties. In fact, it's a limit. Right now, if someone wants to upgrade their septic system, new class one, they could improve their, add to their home up to theoretically 30% floor area ratio. That's subject to planning approval and setbacks to creeks and property lines and all. What we're proposing is a growth limitation that the formation of the district, if it were to go forward, would have perhaps a limit on median, that additions could go up to the median home size or 500 square feet, whichever is greater. It's a way to put, kind of lower the full impact of growth from this project. Now the project area, this is kind of an overview. This is an area to be served at Woodacre over here in San Geronimo, and this is the golf course. And let's see what the next one is here. Oops. Sorry. Okay, so this is the area for Woodacre, and what the project would entail is removal of all the on-site septic systems, abandoning them, basically, actually not removal, but abandonment. And they would be installing community collection lines along the street. The dashed lines would be gravity sewers, and the solid line would be pressure sewers. They would come down to a pump station here on San Geronimo Valley Road, and there's two options. It could either come up and go along Sir Francis Drake or go along San Geronimo Way. This is where the pressure collection lines would be. It would go to the tertiary treatment plant here on the golf course. This is what it would be like for Woodacre. And where there's a pressure collection system, there will be a grinder pump at each property that it's kind of like a garbage disposal, and it reduces the waste that would fit into a 2 to 4 inch pipe. Okay, so the project would include the collection lines that would then go to the site on the golf course. This is to Francis Drake, and this is the maintenance yard. There's a little area right here tucked away where no trees would need to be removed. It would be outside 100 feet from the creek, and it's kind of blocked from view. It's kind of in a cut in the hillside, and that's where the tertiary treatment unit would be. This is kind of a schematic what it is. The fenced-in area would be about 9 to 10,000 square feet, but the actual above-ground portions are the light-colored. Everything that's green is underground, and this is about 2,000 square foot footprint then of the above-ground facility. And I have a picture coming up that shows what it looks like. But just to show, this would be where the UV disinfection unit would be housed in. This is a membrane bioreactor unit, which is the main part of the tertiary treatment. This is an odor control vent, a system to make sure there's no... Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm going to raise it up. Is that better? Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So that's the area, and this is the underground storage tanks for it. And this is over here is where the solids would be contained and collected. So this is what a unit looks like. This is larger than what would be proposed for this project. This is 75,000 gallons per day tertiary treatment plant. And the Central Valley unit we would have would be a little bit smaller for 50,000 gallons per day. This is how the sludge is handled for the system. It's bagged in 50-pound bags and dewatered, and they're stored until they're hauled off-site every few months, so it's not truckloads coming in removing the sludge. And so the waste comes in to the tertiary treatment plant. It's fully treated to recycling standards, 22, and then it would go for storage on ponds on the golf course. First pond, the second is actually two smaller ponds. The concept is the waste goes, the effluent, it's not waste anymore, the effluent goes to these lined ponds, and it's stored there when it's not in use. So the golf course would be using it as irrigation, say, from May through October, and the rest of the time, or when they did need to irrigate it, it would be stored. So the limiting factor on how many homes can be served by the system is the size of the storage ponds. So these ponds need to be able to hold what's collected in the winter as well as any rainfall. And those are designed for 100-year floods. So that's why this project is limited to 360 parcels. So as Rachel mentioned, the project looks at, its EIR will look at project alternatives. And most EIRs don't have the benefit of a standalone feasibility study. But in this case, we came up with our project description because we'd done an analysis, and this came out as the best preferred alternative. But then we can look at those other alternatives to be considered in part of the EIR analysis as project alternatives. So I just want to go over what those options were. The first one is obviously no project, and that's kind of a standard for CEQA. They're required to have that. The other is an on-site upgrade and management program. That means that everybody would maintain their on-site systems. They would have to upgrade and make sure they meet current standards. And this would call for a local on-site management district. And this is similar to what's done in Stinson Beach. The county doesn't manage septic systems in Stinson Beach. They have their own district. It's part of the water district, and they're assessed accordingly, and they have annual inspections of their systems. And in that case, it's kind of unique because if their systems aren't working, they'll turn off the water to the property. So it's a rather robust system, but it's a model that it served as alternative to. And while the others have physical limits on the number of the number of parcels served by this, and also no project would be much larger than the defined project area that we're looking at. So the other alternative would just be for the Woodacre community leach field alone. The Woodacre community alone, and that would mean that everybody would keep their on-site tanks that would need to be upgraded. And this is similar to what we did in Marshall. And the capacity of this is only 176 parcels, but let me see if my next one. Okay, so what it has is that everybody would have their on-site septic system. That would be the primary treatment of the waste, and then it would be collected and go to an underground pretreatment unit, which should treat all the waste, and then it would all come up to a leach field off of Fire Road, and that would be the system. It's very similar to what we did in Marshall. So that's another option, and that was one option that was considered in the previous feasibility study before we were asked to expand it to see what it would mean to include more properties. But this is the limits for the leach field option. So we have this draft feasibility report that looks at other water recycling options would be used for irrigation for San Geronimo Golf Course. We looked at expanding Woodacre only, and that is, these are basically offshoots on the project that we will be considering in the AR, except this Woodacre only means that there would only be one pond, the one pond south of Sir Francis Drake. That's all that's needed for 210 parcels. But this would allow more properties in Woodacre to be served by a community system. The next alternative we looked at was expanding to San Geronimo. And this is called the partial Woodacre San Geronimo. And that's based on 75% participation rate. And that would be 270 parcels. And that would need both ponds on the golf course. And then the preferred project that we're including in the AR is actually 5B. It's not included here because it's the project, not the alternative. So then we heard that people were concerned about what about other properties along the creek for the Grand Forest Mills. So Cuesta looked at another option, trying to figure out where we could get the extra capacity because we can't expand the ponds. And the other option was to look at bringing in French Ranch if they want to. There's a leach field up here that services French Ranch and the Lagunitas School and is underutilized. If they were interested in getting off their on-site septic systems and connecting to the community recycling system in exchange for providing high water years use of their leach field, that would allow the project to expand to more properties. But that, and we don't know if that's a viable alternative or not, and we need to talk with French Ranch some more, and if that's not viable, it will be pulled from the EIR process. Another alternative that it just kind of came up and that we're looking at would serve 520 parcels, and that would mean not using the French Ranch leach field, but going back to alternative three and looking at the leach field on the Fire Road to be a backup for the years when there was not enough storage in the ponds on the golf course. So that would mean that the effluent from the pond, again, this is treated effluent, would be piped back over here and discharged into the leach field. Pretty clean water would be dispersed through the leach field. So that is another alternative that has just come up. We're beginning to look at it, but we throw it out there because we're brainstorming and trying to come up with what would be the best project alternative. So, again, that's a quick overview. There's more detail online, but I just want to go over kind of what the process is because there's a ways to go. Before a project were to become implemented, we would need to complete the EIR process. Agreements would have to be made to the golf course, anybody using the recycled water. The governance of an assessment district would need to be worked out in a district form that would involve elections. Financing needs to be worked out, loans, grants for the assessment district. Ordinances would need to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. Public hearings to decide how the district would be formed. And then there's the permitting, design, and construction of the system. So there's several steps to go, but we're at the gathering information stage on this. So actually, usually in a scoping session, you go straight into comments, and we're happy to do that, but I also want to give just like maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, since it's kind kind of a complicated process to ask, you know, quick questions that we could clarify in people's mind without getting sidetracked for our comment period. So if anybody has any questions, do you want to come up to the microphone? Or if it's short, I can just repeat it.
So I just have a question that it's our understanding that you have an option to opt in or opt out if you're within the district or the project area. And we've received some information that everyone is going to be subject, if you opt out, to an inspection on their property to ascertain whether their system is code compliant. Could you comment on that?
Yeah. Did everybody hear that? The question is, did everybody hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that will all be sorted out in the formation of an assessment district. But what I can go on is what we did in Marshall. In Marshall, the assessment district boundary was formed, and people had the option to opt out, and that means they didn't pay for any construction costs, they don't pay any annual fees, but they had to prove that their system was working. And that's not unlike when you're annexed to a sewer district from a septic. Actually, in those cases, just automatically, you have no choice, you have to connect. But in this case, we would allow people, if their system was working and meeting standards, to opt out. And it may be that they just need to do some upgrades to their system. They would be allowed to do that. But it would be, you know, as long as your system is working, there's no need to join the system. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. And you would need to probably, in Marshall, I should say, they need to get an operating permit. And right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, on-site septic systems are subject to operating permits. Now, we just, you know, it's kind of, it comes through when people develop their property legally. So if there's an assessment district form, those people would probably need to get an operating permit, and there would be an annual fee on that.
Could you give us approximate costs on inspections and the operating permit?
I'm going to let Becky answer that one. I don't want to misspeak.
The annual operating permit cost is $449 a year, and just a survey of some of the professionals, whether it's an engineer or a qualified service provider, they charge about, there's a range, $350 to one engineering firm charges up to $750 a year.
For the inspection?
Yes. And a report. They are supposed to produce a report on the property. The county has to compile all the information and submit it to the Regional Water Quality Control Board every year.
Every year?
Yes.
Could it be $1,000 a year?
Pardon me?
Could be $1,000 a year?
Possibly. Yes,
sir. Doesn't, I thought I read in the ABA 85, not in accord to the old legal document, but that if you live within 200 feet of the sewer system, you're required to join.
It's 400 feet. 400 feet.
But that would be piping.
Pardon me?
The sewer system is considered okay. Piping.
Well,
that's a conventional
system. Again, that, so what you are talking about, I mean, what, when, in the formation of this district, yes, you would be within 400 feet, but you would not be required if you opt out. Okay. However, you have to demonstrate your septic system is working properly, because that's the whole goal of this, is to ensure that we have good proper wastewater treatment. Yes, Jean.
How do you hire a consultant? There is
a list of consultants that you can contact, consultants as well as qualified service providers, contractors. We have a list in our office that we can send you.
Who makes the decision?
You do. You make the decision.
We hire the consultant?
Yes.
I wasn't totally clear on the map. What streets are the sewage lines going down? Woodacre, it looked obvious, it's Railroad and maybe Central. What about San Geronimo? Is it Meadowway or San Geronimo Valley Drive or both?
There we go. So that's, it would come down here, it would come down here as well.
Okay, so it's both San Geronimo Valley Drive and Meadowway.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just want to back up a bit on the previous question in terms of actually, if alternative two is done, that would entail annual inspections and a cost for that program as well. That would be, that's just the cost of managing on-site septic systems. And just a few more questions, if you could, about the actual project description, so we don't get too sidetracked. Yes, sir.
On the type of septic systems that we have out here right now versus the ones that are, or the upgraded type of septic systems, I'm making an assumption that most of the ones that are in place now are probably would require an upgrade just because of the age of the system, being, you know, two chamber, deep semi-concrete type of tanks. So if in fact that is going to require an upgrade, what approximately what kind of cost would you be looking at to be able to upgrade the system?
Okay, first of all, we don't require an upgrade. If you opt out, what is required is that you demonstrate that your system is operating in good operating order. So if you have a standard system with tank and drain, and you can and it's shown that you can operate it properly, you don't have to do an upgrade. Okay. However, if your system is marginal or failing, Norm Henschy at the recent meeting that we had, I think estimated $40,000 to $70,000.
Okay, and then what was stated before is that if your system is working, you still will have to get an operating permit.
Correct.
And you would also have to have an annual inspection.
Right, and I should also mention that generally when the consultant or qualified service provider, when they do their inspections, most of them are also doing some kind of maintenance. So there's that service provided also. Okay.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I'd like to know who anonymously distributed these flyers.
We don't know.
And if there's anybody here who knows that, I would be really interested to find out, because it feels like kind of a scare tactic.
Yeah, horrible.
Would anyone like to answer
this question?
Very upset.
It states that if your system, if this project passes, you'll have to move your system operators to opt out. That's what it says.
Okay.
Who published it?
What?
And didn't sign it, didn't say who they were.
I think we have an idea of who.
Really tragic.
Okay, let's sign up. Can we get down to maybe one more question?
Can I have a question? Yeah. It's sort of scary. I mean, how soon are we going to have to check whether it's approved or not? Have our system checked?
Well, technically, your system's supposed to be operating now. So the question was, when would we need to show that our system is working? Technically, your system's just supposed to be working now. These regs are on the books already.
I'm assuming mine works.
Yes.
I have a question. The very first option is status quo. And we're asking all these questions about changes and what will happen. What is status quo today? What is status quo in 3 years when this project could happen? What is that?
That's a good question. The regulations may be changing. We're waiting to get approval on our LAMP. But as I understand it, that won't change too much. I'm going to see. They're waiting to see what the regional board would do. They're frustrated with the valley, and they may expect us to do more.
Well, some of you may recall or know that Tamales Bay, I don't remember the group. There was a group in the Tamales Bay Watershed Group did some studies, and they had some anonymous septic inspections done by volunteers. of consultants do these inspections anonymously. The information was all compiled. There was no addresses. There were no names. And it was done by area. So what this study, the results were, it indicated that in the Woodacre San Geronimo area, 60 to 70% of the septic systems were marginal or failing. Okay. That is one of the reasons this wastewater project is being looked at right now, is to help replace marginal and failing systems for property owners here. Yes?
Help me clarify something that I don't really understand. If I lived in Lagunitas, right, and I've got a septic tank, nothing's going to happen at all to me. No effect is going to go on because they're not planning anything in Lagunitas. Is that correct? Nothing's being planned other than the Woodacre or San Geronimo.
Let me. So this study that was done, it was so.
Can I just make that point, actually? So this is a voluntary plan decided by people reasonably because their systems weren't operating well. It's a voluntary thing that people have put together in Woodacre. Yeah? As a consequence of this voluntary thing, an involuntary action now takes place where everybody else is then subject to certain conditions that we weren't subject to prior to that plan. So if you lived in Lagunitas, you wouldn't be affected at all. But because I live in Woodacre, and I might not be so interested in the plan, my septic system and all the other septic systems, which may be a problem, I agree, is then subject to scrutiny simply because I live in the area and haven't decided to join the plan. If I lived in Lagunitas, it wouldn't affect me. So my point is, this is, if you said to me, we're changing the whole thing in the valley. Everywhere in the valley needs to be updated. Everywhere that's got septics needs to be sorted. I'd say, okay. I don't want to do it, but okay. But actually what you're doing is, in my opinion, unless I understand differently, I may be misunderstanding it, is what you're doing is, I happen to live in Woodacre, my septic seems to be okay, but I'm going to be subject to $1,000 a year for a start, even if everything's going well, simply because I live in Woodacre and didn't decide to do what people voluntarily felt they should do.
But
I think that's crazy.
Well, okay, for one...
Explain to me, I'm
okay,
missing
so we are not doing anything right now, okay? We are all talking and studying this project, okay? The other thing is, what we're talking about, the opt-in and opt-out, this is currently not part of the project, but this is how it was handled in Marshall. This is what happened in Marshall. There's nothing set in concrete right now. Okay? So people have asked, and we're telling you this is how it was handled in Marshall.
Oh, so it's not necessarily how anything will be in our situation.
It still has to be studied. It still has to go through the district formation, it still has to go through the ordinances. There's a long way to go. So, but we have to remember that the goal for this project proposal, and it is a project proposal at this stage that is being studied is to try to improve the water quality, groundwater, as well as Longmeese Creek and Van Geronimo Creek and the public health. Okay, that's what we're trying to do. This is still a project proposal that is going to be studied by the NDIR. We need some.
Yeah. One more comment.
I'm sorry, but we're going to have to go on. What we want to do is get your comments for the EAR, and I'm going to be around after the meeting. I'm happy to talk to you. And it's also clear, I just want to say that we're closing this part so we can move on to the next to get more comments for you. But I want to say that this is the beginning of a process and a communication, and I'm happy to come back and have more meetings. I think as we go through this process, we can have more dialogue and more discussion, and we will try to facilitate that.
I really insist on saying that the project begins to feel like it's taking on a life of its own and with some momentum. I'm not quite sure where it started or why it started, and Michael's quite correct in pointing out that this is half of the valley and perhaps half of its population that's being potentially highly inconvenienced or facing significant financial stress.
One last comment on the inspection fees. That's countywide. That's not just in the valley. The annual inspection fees and costs is a program for all septic tanks throughout the county. It's not just in the valley. It's throughout the county. It's been on the books for quite a while.
But not enforced. And it's going to be enforced. 8,000 septic systems in Marin County.
Okay. I think we're gonna keep moving. And I want to acknowledge that clearly a lot of concerns with the project. I like the project. I don't like the project. Questions about implementation. And it's not that those aren't important. Those are very valid concerns. So I just want to redirect to the purpose of this meeting, because we're only having one EIR scoping session. So I just kind of want to try to stay on focus. Again, I encourage you, reach out to Lorene at the end of this meeting, call her, email her, follow up with her. But for the remainder of this meeting, I just want to keep on the environmental impact report.
The end of this meeting is the end of the process.
It's not the end. This is the very beginning. And I should also say, just because project or elements of the project are analyzed in the EIR, that by no means obligates your board to approve anything. So evaluating does not mean approving. It's just evaluating. Okay, I'm going to give some guidelines that outline procedure for public comment. Again, if you want to give a comment, please pick up a green speaker card, raise your hand. Tammy will even bring you one. And then you can just hand it to staff. We're going to call out about three names at a time, and then you could come and give your comments here. The mic will be oriented towards staff. So please direct your comments that way as opposed to the rest of the group. We want to make sure you get your comment on record. Again, please focus on potential environmental effects. Please. Again, many other concerns with this project, but if you could keep it to those are the relevant ones that we want to record for tonight. We'll have a timekeeper here who will indicate time. You'll have 3 minutes to share your comments. If you're a representative of a group, you'll have 5 minutes. So we'll just let you know when your time is getting close. And then again, your comments will be recorded. All comments that we receive in writing or tonight here orally, they will be in the appendix of the draft EIR, as well as a cross-reference to where in the document your concern is addressed. So that's also why we ask for your name on the speaker card, because we want to make sure that we have it right as recorded in the draft EIR appendix. And with that, I think other ways to comment. If you don't want to get up and orally give comments, no problem. We have comment forms up here. You could give them to us, leave them with us tonight, or mail them in, bring them into the Civic Center. You could also email us. So I have my email address up here if you want to email comments up until May 1st. And just some ground rules for basic civility, which I know I don't need to give this group, but I always say it as a standard part of these presentations. I really encourage and want to emphasize respectful listening. Everybody should feel comfortable to get up here and offer their comments. So please, no applause, no booing, no interrupting. Just let everybody have their say who wants to have their say, and listen respectfully. So with that, I am going to turn over to Tammy. She'll call up the first three speakers.
Okay, can I just open really quickly by saying, you know, to be up here, we're really grateful that you all are here. We're really grateful to hear all your comments. So it is really important, as tempting as it is to express yourself when someone else is up here saying something that you agree with or disagree with, it kind of is intimidating to anyone else who doesn't share that same comment. So I'd really, really like to emphasize what Rachel said. Please, please refrain from doing that. It would just make this thing go so much more smoothly. And like she said, Lorraine will be here at the end to answer questions. So with that, I'm going to call three names at a time. So Jean Behrensmeyer, you asked to go first. Then I have Kristen, I think it's Anderson, and Rich Lohman. So those are the first three speakers, and I'll call three more in just a moment. So if you want to line up, that would be great.
And one more thing to add is that issues only need to be raised once to get in our record and to be studied. So feel free, if somebody before you says an issue that you were already going to say, then you could pass or you could reiterate it in writing. We don't necessarily tally the number of times an issue was raised.
You're going to actually be facing because you're going to face it.
Okay. Do I speak here?
Is the mic
you're going to be facing.
Oh, right. You want me to face that? Oh,
yes, please.
I'm sorry. I didn't get it. All right. My name is Jean Behrensmeyer. I'm a member of this steering committee of the San Jerónimo Valley Planning Group. In 2009, we were asked and we sent a letter of support for a feasibility study for folks in the Woodacre Flats high water table, provided it met the goals of the community plan and did not promote development. We have been monitoring this project since its inception. The current project violates the community plan and promotes development. It is not acceptable. I do not support a sewer plant in the valley, and I'm not alone. I will use my limited time to make five comments at this public meeting. I'm so glad to see this many people here, rather than ask scoping questions, which I will submit with the planning group. Number one, after the Woodacre Flats wastewater group did not get the local support or funds they needed to proceed in 2013, they did not disband as they said they would, but they expanded by inviting Upper Woodacre and San Jerónimo to participate. Interestingly, only 49% of Upper Woodacre and 21% of Jerónimo, a total of 350 homes that were approached, were interested in moving ahead with an EIR. That is less than 50%. 50%. Folks, these 350 homes are the ones that the EIR and wastewater recycling project propose to serve. This is unacceptable. Number two, attendees were told that they didn't have to have a failing system to support the sewer plant proposal. They were wooed with the spectacle of grant monies paying a large percentage, I've got 5 minutes, of cost, and that their illegally built structures and or illegal second units would be legalized, and they could possibly receive a 500 square foot home building expansion if they joined the system. Horrors! This would, 500 feet, this would induce properties with fully functioning systems to join the proposed sewer plant district, not to improve water quality, but to increase the size of their homes in our lovely rural valley. Number three, valley-wide community outreach has been lacking or poorly handled. Sorry about that, Lorraine, but it has been poorly handled. The last valley-wide meeting was in 2013. The recent feasibility report meeting in March was first noticed for participants only. The planning group complained. Subsequently, an unreadable sign was put up at the bottom of YCL 3 days before the meeting. and an announcement flyer placed in the Woodacre post office counter on the day of the meeting, according to people who contacted me. This is unacceptable. Four, at the recent feasibility meeting, we learned from staff that conversely to what residents were told to encourage their signing up, a homeowner cannot opt out of participating if the project is approved unless they upgrade their existing septic system to meet the county requirements. This would trigger on-site septic inspections. We would love that. This is not acceptable. And last, currently rumors have it that the golf course is up for sale. Huge sums of public monies, yours and mine, and we don't even, a lot of people don't even know about this. Yours and mine and staff time have been expended, and there appears to be no memo of understanding with the golf course to assure or confirm their participation. Finally, this is unacceptable. I could provide a lot of other juicy insights, but I thought I'd run out of time. I've got another minute here, and I'll just say, we're on it. We're maybe sometimes the bad guys or whatever, but the planning group watches out for the valley. We've been doing it for 44 years. If you build a fence and your neighbor doesn't agree with it, that neighbor doesn't agree, and the other, you have opposing views, when the planning group gets in, one of you is going to love us, the other one's going to hate us. We do our job. And if you're interested in learning more about this, please attend one of our meetings. Thanks a lot.
Okay, just a reminder, the text of comments we're looking for are on this slide here. And again, please direct your comments to staff as opposed to the group. So, thank you.
Just in case, Kristen Anderson, Rich Lohman, and then John Champel. Is it Champel?
Hello, my name is Kristen Anderson. I live in Woodacre. I've been participating in trying to improve the water quality and the environment in the valley for the last 11 years with this project. And my two main concerns as you move through this environmental impact report, one is that for whatever reason, there would be no project and things would continue as they are now, because that is a great concern, because especially with the rain that we just had in the last go-around, it was very sinister in Woodacre, and it was like being on top of a giant sewer pond through the whole town. And my second one is, and it's related to things I've observed here in the valley when there have been other projects that have gone forward, like French Ranch. When French Ranch, which was privately held land, was sold and houses were put up there, people who bought homes and who were actually moving into those homes were intimidated by many of the same people that are against this project with threats. People had to hire bodyguards. So honestly, I'm really concerned about the avarice and the hubris that is expressed by people who are putting out fear-mongering misinformation about this project and the science around this project. And I'm very concerned about it. Thank you.
I'm Rich Lohman. I live on Railroad Avenue in Woodacre. Two areas of concern. One relates to all the options 3 through 6. Clearly, in the presentation, we're going to have pipelines running through Woodacre, through San Geronimo. I'm concerned about that process in terms of the construction. What the impact on traffic flow, and also on access to individual property lines and driveways and so forth like that. So and length of time that it might be under construction, and we might have limited flow. Particularly concerned about the flow during early mornings and late evenings when people are coming home, going to work, coming home. So that's one area. The other one is really it relates to all the options. And each impact is different, but I'm concerned about the impact to any homeowner who chooses to be a part of the project, and particularly the property of that homeowner. Issues, and I would say it would apply to each option, but what are the possible things that have to be removed, what has to be installed, what has to be newly installed, what has to be inspected, way of access out to the pipeline, the main pipeline industry, which I understand will be our own responsibility. Those are issues that I'd like clarified in the EIR. Thank you.
Okay,
Okay. Let me call a few more names. So John Champel. Champions. He looks like Neville, sorry. Ann Saruman, R. Saruman, so I assume you call her together. And then Amos Klossner.
Yeah, the Saruman's are passed.
Oh, they left already?
No, no, parents.
Oh, you're done. Okay. Then D.B. Finnegan. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure whether this is a good plan or not, but I have a singular concern, and that is odor. And I think everybody that lives in Woodacre should be concerned about this. I live on conifer, and in fact, I can see my house in most of these pictures. And I will look down and see the pond, the big pond. And there's a prevailing westerly breeze that we sit on our deck and enjoy every evening that we can, not so much recently. But not only will the plant itself create odor, and it will, but tertiary water has a peculiar odor itself. And I know this, I worked at Sonoma State for 20 years and we used tertiary water there, and it's awful. It's awful. It has a metallic kind of an odor, and so I urge you to consider the odor issue. If it diminishes the value of my property, I will object. And by object, I don't mean stand up and speak. I will, you know, and a group of my neighbors will object as well. So I urge you to consider that very carefully. Thank you.
So, Ann? Are you Ann? Oh. Oh, okay. Ann Saruman?
No, they're
gone. Oh, they're gone. Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay. D.B. Finnegan, then Phil Sauter. And then.
You missed Amos.
Oh, sorry. Amos.
Sorry. Can I have their time, though? I need it.
You're so funny.
Okay, these are questions about environmental impacts. How will the project implementation affect traffic? How will project implementation affect unstable soils and potential slide areas? How will the project affect housing development? How will the project affect home sizes in the project area? How will the project meet requirements of the San Geronimo Valley Community Plan? How will earthquakes affect sewer system infrastructure, and what are the areas of and what are the areas and component systems that have the highest potential to be impacted? What hazardous materials will be stored on site, and what hazardous materials have the potential to be used in the system when it can't meet bacteriological limits or if equipment is offline? How will air quality be affected, especially around the issues of odor typically found to be associated with sewage treatment? How will air quality be impacted by gases released in the sewage treatment operations, such as greenhouse gases like methane? What cancer-causing substances known to the state of California will be used within the component systems of the sewer plant? How will irrigation of the golf course and reclaimed water affect soil quality over time? What potential is there for reclaimed water to pollute ephemeral or flowing streams or freshwater bodies like those found on the golf course? Does the current sewer plant location meet legal setback requirements? Do the storage pond locations meet legal setback requirements? What areas on the golf course can legally receive reclaimed water based on legal setback requirements? How tall will the storage pond walls and berms be from the ground level? How wide will the storage pond walls be at their base and at the top? What type of fencing will be used around the storage ponds? Who is responsible for daily, weekly, and monthly testing of water quality that will occur related to this project? How will golf course overspray of reclaimed water affect the adjacent public schools? What plan is in place should the storage ponds be contaminated by sewage that has not been treated to tertiary levels? How will the golf course owners meet irrigation requirements as they relate to setbacks and where reclaimed water can and cannot be sprayed? Who will be responsible for assuring that irrigation with reclaimed water does not occur when wind speeds reach 30 miles per hour, and how will that process work? How will this project affect groundwater recharge in the project area? Will community members have a chance to review a disaster management plan before the sewer system is approved? Will the addition of a sewer plant expose local residents in the Valley community to prolonged noise? Will the addition of a sewer plant expose local residents in the Valley community to excessive noise? Will the addition of a sewer plant expose local residents in the Valley community to excessive nighttime noise? Will the addition of a sewer plant increase ambient noise levels above existing levels? How will this project induce population growth? Will this project allow for and result in additional housing at the site of the existing Presbyterian Church? The Cuesta Engineering Project Plan lists spills as an environmental impact. How will potential spills impact ephemeral and flowing creeks? How will the proposed sanitary district deal with sewage spills and leaks, and what is their response time? How will the storage ponds and tall dirt berms affect the scenic vistas of the area? How will the storage ponds affect the overall aesthetics of the area? I'll send the rest via email.
Yay!
That's tough to follow. Hi, I'm P.D. Finnegan. I live up in the hills in Woodacre, and we have all the noise from the water department and from the highway. And my question is noise. It's about noise. When will the noise be there? How loud will the noise be? I used to hear the pumps on the golf course when they were pumping ponds. So all that noise carries. So we're taking pollution away from the ground of this valley, but you're giving those of us on the hills other kinds of pollution, noise pollution and light pollution. Will those lights be hooded? The golf course lights aren't hooded. Neither are the water department lights. The valley's gotten lighter and lighter and lighter. So this is a very, very narrow watershed, and everything echoes in this valley. And I think that people in the flats are unaware of that. And you go up there and you get all the noise. So are there going to be restrictions on operating times? Public Works, for instance, starts at 6:30. You can hear the trucks rolling. That shouldn't be allowed in a valley this small. So I'm wondering what kind of restrictions will be on the operating times and pumping times and truck times, and how long is the construction project going to go on. I was a member of the tank committee. Some of you may remember that. And so I'm curious about whether some of the information that was gathered during all those years of working on the possibility of putting water tanks on top of Fire Road, whether any of those results will be put into this report, because I'm sure they're available, because we worked on that a lot. And I'm concerned about having leach fields up on top of Fire Road, because there's earthquake faults up there. And I think the person after me can answer that much better. But so those are my primary concerns, is what pollution, what other new pollution will come up to us up in the hills. Thank you.
Okay, one more thing. If you still have green speaker cards you haven't given me yet and you still want me to come and grab them, just hold them up and I'll come over also. Otherwise, Phil, are you next? And then Ken, Matt Massinger, and Dan McKinnon.
My name is Phil Sutter. I'm from Woodacre. I think this project is, sad to say at this point, poorly defined. I think that one of the options that needs to be studied is a no build-out option. We have 1,500 septic systems in this valley. What we've heard tonight is at the max, we could get 300 to 500 systems on the golf course. That means that 50 to 70% of us in the valley are going to have to deal with septic systems at some point, have no solution. For this project to go forward and this EIR to go forward without a no-build option doesn't make any sense. Second is the build-out will happen close to the creek. The fish don't have a problem with coliform. They have a problem with sedimentation. 500 square feet will increase runoff and will increase sedimentation. If the building goes up, it violates our community plan, which is based on a rural village character, and who wants to look up at the ridge and see your neighbor's second floor? I think that every time you add a bedroom, Marshall specifically precluded bedrooms in their 500 square foot bed out, build out. They said you can't build a bedroom. Every time you add a bedroom in one area of Woodacre, you keep somebody further downstream from joining the system. I think the project is poorly thought out. The project is poorly thought out and needs to be redefined. The only reason I've heard for build out is as a carrot to bring people into the system, but I heard Lorene say a few weeks ago that people are going to have a stick that say either you join the system or you've got to dig deep into your pockets and prove that you have a functioning system. So with a stick like that, I don't think you need a carrot. The other reason for build out would be to add additional housing stock for low-income housing. I've yet to see a restriction that says that any additional building will be low-income. If that were part of the process, one that would be one thing, but it's not. And I'll tear up the rest of my notes, and I'll say that I think this one-minute stuff and 30-second stuff is an insult to this community. We've all been told that we're going to have to dig into our pockets. In this room, we'll have to spend $1 million bringing septic systems up. The golf course might be our last chance to do this and get into a valley-wide system. I think it's an insult to say that we can come up after the meeting and talk to Loreen. I think it's an insult to say that we have 30 seconds to deal with something as important as this. I think we need to schedule another meeting tonight before this goes forward. I think it should be stopped in its tracks. And I'll leave another 10 seconds for the next person.
Yeah. My name is Ken Nafziger. I live on the flats in Whitaker. And I've got 5 comments, and they're all related to EIR, except for the last one's borderline. So under alternative 5B, which is the 370 homes, I believe it's 370, 360 at the golf course, that's going to bring in about 44,000 gallons of sewage per day to be processed. And under alternative 6A, the new one, which we haven't had a chance to look at to be able to make comments on, we estimate that that's about 68,000 gallons of septic that's going to be coming into the plant. So that's 44,000 gallons of, we'll call it septage, it's liquid, or 68,000 gallons of liquid that aren't going into the aquifer. What's going to be the impact of that in the long run? That's a lot of water to not be in the ground to get down into the creek. Number two, someone who is forced to join a sewer system, if your system can't... current system can't meet and you have to join. And if you're forced to join this system and sign a deed restriction or you're limited to 500 square feet, is that legal? Can you deny someone who has to join the system the right to develop their home? That's something that's going to need to work out, and that's directly related to the EIR because that could have a massive impact on development. Earthquake and power outage. Earthquake's a biggie. Mudslides are a biggie. Redwood Avenue right now has a continuing mudslide with the 2-inch pressurized main would have to travel down. That's got to be stabilized to go through there. Pipelines rupturing. There's only one day of storage at the lift station. There's only one day of storage at the treatment plant. There's approximately a day of storage at these grinder pumps. It probably have a life of about 10 or 12 years and will need to be replaced. If the power is out for more than a day, that's over approximately 200 homes that aren't going to be able to use their toilets unless somebody comes around and pumps them out periodically. Whoa, time's getting away. Sewer systems do not remove chemicals and other pharmaceuticals. What's going to be the impact of spraying that water on the golf course for a long period of time? And lastly, alternatives 4 through 6, I have to question whether they can be considered viable alternatives because there's absolutely no legal instrument between the county and the golf course. All there is a loose, I guess you could call it a memorandum of understanding. The county, state, the county will request the states what needs to be discussed. The golf course has made no comment at all. It could be that the golf course will want a whole bunch of money to be involved in this, or when the time comes, they won't want to be involved at all. And if there's a rumor that the golf course is up for sale, it throws this whole thing into jeopardy. Thank you.
What do you want to call in the mornings, or I can do that?
Sure.
Okay, so your example.
Okay, then after him will be Liz Vial, Barb Scott, and Dorothy Cox.
Good evening. My name is Dan McKenna. I live in Forest Knolls. I've been working with the planning group on this issue, and one of the issues that we're concerned about, and I'm specifically concerned about, is one of the stated goals, water quality. Water quality seems to be at jeopardy if we allow properties with fully functioning and code-compliant septic systems to join the district. We've stated that the limiting factor for all of the alternatives except for number 2 and 1 is the size of the system that can accommodate the number of households. If that's the case, then we should consider that to be a resource. And if we also consider that there may be, and there most likely is, other failing systems throughout the valley, we're allowing a resource to be wasted. The resource that is used for systems that are fully functioning and code compliant will be wasted if we allow those properties to join, and at the expense of properties that have no on-site alternative in other parts of the valley. Those systems should be studied in the scope of this EIR. Alternatives should be recommended in the scope of the EIR on how we're actually going to improve water quality. Secondly, if indeed water quality is improved, the study should at least examine the amount or percentage of water quality that is anticipated to be improved by those systems that are failing within the project area, and compared to if the project area were to be expanded valley-wide and the resources made available to those on-site systems that have no on-site alternative. Thank you.
My name is Liz Dial, and I live in the flats. My question is around option one, and I'm wondering how it can possibly be evaluated in the EIR. All the other options have very clear parameters around fixing failing septic systems and controlling growth, whereas option one, which is status quo, I don't really feel like I got my question answered about what is status quo. It seems like we're very quickly moving towards a new time when everyone's septic systems are going to be looked at, especially those that are within 200 feet of the creek, which is most of our project area. So as we go, if we were to go along and not do anything and we just went with option one, how does that look with people one by one trying to deal with the new standards and trying to, or meet existing standards because they're going to be evaluated? How is growth controlled? Today, if you fix your septic system, you could add way more than 500 square feet. So how will growth be controlled if we don't have a plan? I think of option one as being the no plan plan, and it really frightens me. I wonder about what, one of the things is aesthetics. What would it look like if everybody on their own is trying to fix their septic system and putting in mounds and raised boxes? Are we going to look like a fortified city up and down the streets of Railroad? So I really am concerned about how option one is evaluated in this EIR. Thanks.
Hi, I live at the trailer court, and I just told Kit Krause yesterday that I'll be coming to the next meeting. I want to put in a SEPARET. You can spell that SEPARETT. And look it up on SEPARETT.USA.com. Separating poo from pee. It's an essential way of the future for this planet. If any of you ever read Rose George's book in 2009, The Big Necessity, when this British journalist went around the world and looked at all the waves effluent was dealt with, it'll tear your heart apart. Common sense, for $1,000, I can have this system. You can have this system.
Okay, so Dorothy's next. Mark Daly is after that. And then Michael Beck. I'm sorry if I'm not saying these names properly.
I've got to find out from Barb where we can get that $1,000 equipment. It sounds great to me. I'm really concerned about my neighbors on Railroad Avenue Central because I live on Redwood, and I'm concerned about us as well. But they need something now, not 5 years from now. And I thought that perhaps their solution might be the fire road solution. What's that, option two, is it, or
three?
Okay, three. Okay. Where the affluent only is going up, the overflow is going up to Fire Road, Dixon Ranch, and being properly put through a leach field. And I really don't, you know, talking about this as a missing, you know, something that we should be holding on to, I'd just rather not for my the sake of my health and yours. So I feel like that if they need a solution, they don't need to wait 5 years. I can't think of, people will have to make expensive improvements before this thing ever happens. And that doesn't make sense. Being efficient and simple and having a stage one that helped the people on that side that really needed it, on the railroad Central Avenue side, makes sense to me. Helping people that are really having failing systems that need help now makes more environmental sense to me than waiting 5 years. I live on Railroad and Central, no, not Central, Railroad and Carson, and I have a side seasonal creek coming down. Now, because I'm on the very edge of this, my septic is going to be scrutinized, in the creek that flows in front of me along Redwood Drive. But I've got my neighbors all behind me, all their stuff's coming down too. There's a sense of unfairness, but then I have to think of, okay, if you're gonna do this, think about the fact that Redwood has collapsed, I understand, 4 times. I've only been here for the last one, and it was a year and a half before it ever got fixed. We just can't afford to wait a year and a half to try and deal with things like this again. The gentleman that pointed out, everything's going to be tied up for a very long time. Let's deal with affluence. Forget the poop. I don't care if it brings a lot of money in. It doesn't make sense to me in any way. Thank you so much.
Hi, some of my comments are about environmental issues and some are really about some of the questions that were raised earlier, but this seems to be the only chance we have to say them, so I'm going to say them. Yes, is that better? Okay. So I'm still getting my bearings about what this project might mean, and I'm wondering what happens. So you mentioned the sludge. The sludge would be put in bags, taken off somewhere. Where does it go? What kind of impacts does it have where it goes? Can it be spread on hillsides and be composted? I mean, is there something good? Is there a good plan for what's going to happen with that? Just because there will be impacts. I know you're counting the impacts to our valley, but if you're carting the sludge off somewhere and there are impacts someplace else, do those get counted towards as impacts? Second, I don't really understand why the people who would be opting out would be subject to an annual inspection. Is that necessary? It seems it seems expensive, and it might be excessive. Could we get by with every 5 years? Could the fees be lowered? Especially in view of, as the gentleman pointed out, it's just because some people want this system in this neighborhood that everybody else who lives in the project area gets roped in, and all of a sudden, it looks very much like a cattle prod that's being applied to our rears to get us into the project because it raises the cost of staying out. That maybe wasn't what was originally advertised, and people are concerned about that. I think I have a full 3 minutes, but of things to say. So, but anyway, those are some of the things that are coming up in my mind right now. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to call a few more names. So Michael's next, then Brian Ott, Fred Mundy, and then Paul Berensmeyer.
Okay, thank you for listening to our concerns. My main concern is trying to get a definition of what a failed system is. Because I'm from San Geronimo, and the system that we have was approved by the county in 1980. It's a very large lot. So our property is not typical of many of the properties that are problems. The other concern I have is the complexity of the system. As Ken Nessiger pointed out, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, not the least of which is electricity does tend to go out from time to time. The complexity and the cost are somehow going to have to be borne by all of us, ultimately, although there will be grants, I'm told. But I would like to get some kind of clear definition of what a failed system looks like, and also what is it that's involved in defining a system that's not failed. So those are really my main concerns. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Brian from Woodacre. Some of the questions I have are concerns on the environment. I don't know, I'll try to not repeat it. I'm curious about the aesthetics that it's going to cause for people in that community immediately, like someone else mentioned, how they can see it from their house, and how it's going to impact the local community, how it's going to impact the aesthetics from the road and around with the berms and the wire fence. I'm concerned about the smell. I've heard a lot of people saying, well, because it's tertiary, it's not going to smell, but I did a little research, and it's actually all the different stages that go through a plant that releases that smell. So I'm concerned about that. Road construction, flooding. I'm also did a little research on flooding that's happened in sewer plants locally. And it happens a lot. I was really surprised. So I'd like to see some type of report or understanding of, you know, when there's if different things that could happen, for example, an earthquake or power outage after 24 hours, 48 hours, just real things that could really slow this down and how that's going to impact the community. I'm also concerned about the water quality with, you know, all this road construction. People keep mentioning railroad, how sensitive that is. For me, it just seems like, you know, the options that we went over, it seems like the most complicated option is this option, and it's going to have the biggest impact on the community, the biggest potential impact on the community. So I'm just kind of surprised that there's all this effort into the most complicated option versus looking at some of the more simple options. Option two, I believe, what about people who just updating their system? You know, costs like that. I've seen some numbers on costs that were saying that people updated their system, that it was going to cost more than putting the sewer system in, which doesn't make any sense because certain people just need to maybe upgrade it. Some people are already functioning, but I think the way that they figure that number out is maybe, I don't know, that you average that number through all the potential sites. Also, another environmental impact I'm curious about is it seems the numbers keep growing of how many homes is conserved. So I'm curious, like, where's the cutoff? You know, where's the cutoff that it's not a viable option? Is this going to be built with the idea that it can be added onto? And, you know, I'm not sure about that either. Thanks.
Fred Mundy still here?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Paul Behrensmeyer, and then Rita.
I'll be very brief because Amos covered everything I had to think about, plus everyone else in the room, I think. I'm against this project. I think it's incredibly complicated. And leave it to Cuesta to come up with the most complicated and most vulnerable system possible. We've done it over and over. The only contribution I can make to this, I think, is that I have an advanced tech system, an alternative system. I've had it for 11 years. It has worked perfectly. I have absolutely no problems with it at all. If anybody in that district, if this thing happens, wants to talk to me about these systems, I'll be glad to show you mine. There's
Did
just
you say
no
where
problem.
You live? Can you introduce yourself? I'm sorry, where you live?
Forest Knolls.
Oh,
Forest Knolls, where we weren't invited to be in.
On the flat, you give us your name and the phone number, because we're
want to talk.
Okay.
Paul.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I think I'd like to just focus on one thing that's the most important to me environmentally, and that has to do with the salmon in our creeks. And I just keep focusing more on the big picture and the reality of where we really live. And I'd like to have it put on record that we live on the San Andreas Fault, and the odds are that we will have an earthquake. We're involved with disaster preparedness and everything, but I realize with this system, say it's 360 like you're saying, you got 360 lines from sewer lines between these houses, and they're going right across the creek. And so I would like to have this on record that if a major earthquake happens, which it's just a matter of time that it will, because once we're locked into the system, it's going to be there nonstop. So when that earthquake comes, we're going to have 360 houses of effluent flowing into the creek. And in my opinion, that's going to be the end of the coho salmon. And so I am very strongly opposed to that, because that seems like a death knell. It seems like that's it if we have the effluent going across the creek. Thank you.
Is Rita still here? Okay, because I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her last name. Rita McClaw. Okay, Michael Chadwick, then Sherry Grassi, and Greg Keeling. Can you guys hear me? I'm like, where's everybody? Okay, Michael Chadwick, Sherry Grassi, are they all gone? Oleg, Zenzig, and then Dennis.
So it was all three.
Okay, my name is Greg Keeling. Our home is across the street from the proposed site of the treatment plant within 100 yards. The concerns that we have been already raised, but what I would like to raise for the purposes of the EIR is if the EIR would address the utility hookups and the electrical. We do have power outages. They're common in the valley, so we are wondering what happens with everything that's pumping down to that one point across the street from us. What happens with the pumps on every single house? What the backup systems are. I'm concerned with the visual effect of power poles, wires, the electric plant for this proposed treatment plant. Also the lights, the EMF emissions, electromagnetic emissions should be considered, as well as the pump noise and what the backup generators, transformers. Are they going to be building a power plant to keep this thing running, like there's a big plant near the water treatment plant for the road? And my overarching concern is, if that plant, which will be directly across the street from us, will it be limited in size, or will that be the center of the valley if this entire project is ever expanded valley-wide? Will it be on that site, and what will be the effect of that, not just for the local homeowners, but for the environment, if they don't come up with alternative sites and decide that it has to be expanded? Thank you.
My name is Oleg, and I can just quickly read. This is from manual of Environmental Protection Agency, 1980. So this is from the manual of Environmental Protection Agency, 1980. Unfortunately, in many cases, solutions to wastewater problems in urban areas have been applied to rural communities. With the advent of federal programs that provide grants for construction of wastewater facilities, sewers, and centralized treatment plants, were constructed in these low-density rural settings. In many cases, the cost of operating and maintaining such facilities impose severe economic burdens on the communities. Although wastewater treatment, treatment and disposal systems serving single homes have been used for many years, they have often been considered an inadequate or temporary solution until sewers could be constructed. However, research has demonstrated that such systems, if constructed and maintained properly, can provide a reliable and efficient means of wastewater treatment and disposal at relatively low costs. Now about the cost, and I will go to ERR. So the actually the report is providing the estimate for the costs. You can access it online, and many of us I think read. So the option one is nothing to do, just status quo. Is cost, as Rebecca mentioned, $1,000 to $1,500. It's operation and management costs. On-site upgrades, like one previous gentleman mentioned, it's actually cost-effective. It's the estimate says it's $966 per year. It's on-site upgrades, and if the cheapest option is Woodacre Fire Road Community Leach Field, but then goes a much pricier options. Which is 5B is not the most pricey, but it's one in the group of the prices. So I don't know. And about EAR input, I think having already tested with the time these on-site septic system upgrade and versus having this very complicated system, the impact on environment, kind of no question for me. Compare these two options. Thank you.
Dennis? Oh, Rita, are you back?
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry, go ahead, Sherry. I called your name earlier, but
I'll just talk right into that.
Thank you.
My name is Sherry Broughton.
Right into the microphone.
There we go. Okay. My name is Sherry Broughton. I've lived here for 50 years and a little more. I raised my kids here. And my grandmother and grandfather came back to Cassio area.
Can't
hear me? Get closer? Louder? I just want you to scream. Sorry. In any case, I'm just Joe Average. But I do know we all have toilets, and God bless us, we flush it. It goes somewhere. We are asking people here to solve all of our problems with our poop. They want answers now for things that we here don't know about. They're finding them. We need to study what they find, not guess, not assume we get hit by a bomb the way things are going worldwide. But we do know we have to take care of our valley. And I think personally, by the time they find out what the options really are, not what you think they are, not what they were 20 years ago, I think that we will have a better picture rather than fighting or arguing. Some people live years ago, they don't want anything changed. But the valley has to change, it can't. There was a time when I was one of the first 8 people that said, we need to do something about the valley, it rains hard, you know, you don't want to walk your dog down the street. And so the whole thing of it is that we have to be more patient, more understanding as a community. There will be something that will improve it. If we lived in Terra Linda or in San Rafael, you're going to have a tax bill every year on your sewer so that you can flush your toilet and they can maintain everything that's needed to keep the civilized world from stepping in their own puddles. And I really do think that we need to keep listening to these people who have spent a great deal of their time, their own time, their family time, to try to increase this. When I first got into this, it was like, oh my God, you're not talking about, don't go there, God, we'll have troubles. And it is a problem, and we have to accept that, and we have to find a way to change it. But going the dark ages won't do it.
We have to do it because we understand and we listen to the people that took the time to make this happen. People that said, well, you know, I live in Forest Knolls. They never did anything for me. Why should we go to Woodacre? Well, Woodacre was the first one that got the idea. Then more people said, well, why do you get it? You're better than we are. We want to get in on that, too. And so they've tried to balance everything for everybody. But the bottom line is there's a great deal, maybe more than we want to know, that we don't know. And they're trying to help us find it. So to come here and argue and disagree when we don't know what the truth is yet. We don't know what we actually can do and what it's going to cost. And until we do, it's a crapshoot, literally. Pardon the button.
My name is Dennis Pozo. I'm resident of Forest Knolls since 1980. I strongly am interested in having the EIR look at the financial aspect of our property values in the event none of the options are implemented and the county does implement the requirements that are going to come from the local area management plan, which is coming down from the EPA. So, do nothing. What will that do to our property values? Do any of the other options? What will that do to our property values? Thank you very much.
That's it. That's all I have for speaker cards. Is there any last minute speakers?
Question. Yeah. There was an email mentioned. Did you call that out?
The email address?
Yes.
ENB as an environmental. So ENB planning. @marincounty.org. And it's also on the notice and a lot of the agenda items that were up at the table. I'm going to turn it back over then to Lori and Rachel to close it out.
Well, thank you again for attending tonight, and we'll send you future notices on the progress of the EIR. And if you have questions regarding the project, again, get in touch with Lori.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.